Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Why the United Auto Workers has been talking with management at a non-union car plant in Tennessee.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. It would be something short of joining a labor union, but workers in Volkswagen's factory in Tennessee are expected to hear this week about a bid to give them possibly a greater voice with management. Sources have told the Reuters news agency that the president of the United Auto Workers Union has just held talks with VW about importing something else from Germany, something called workers' councils. It's not clear if VW supports this idea for its Tennessee operation, nor is it clear VW employees there would ever ratify it, but it might give a small foothold to unions in a southern car plant that are typically non-union. And what is a German-style workers' council? Well, the BBC's man in Berlin, Steve Evans, spent many a year on the labor beat. Steve, thanks for doing this.
You're very welcome.
Help me understand, what is a German-style works council?
A works council is the supervisory board that oversees the company. That supervisory board doesn't run the company day to day, but it does choose who those people are, the chief executive, the chief financial officer, and it can call people to account. I suppose the pros of that are the workforce is taken on board so that if there's difficult change ahead, it will say, OK, we see that that plant has got to close, but we don't want it to be done on Friday night. And them to be told on Thursday it will be done in this kind of way.
But critics of the system would say what?
Detractors would say, if you have union people involved in the boardroom, well, then maybe the most brutal decisions don't get taken.
So a less antagonistic relationship between management and workers with these workers' councils, but at some level trade union light, L-I-T-E.
Yeah, they have the trade unions as well. But within a company, I mean, I know a director of BMW, for example, and he's a proper director. You know, he's a union guy who got elected by the people around him. They trust him not to sell them out. He drives around in a great big BMW. He parks in the BMW management car park. He is a BMW director. And through that, he's privy to a lot of information. So there has to be a degree of trust on both sides.
So these works councils can have some utility. BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
VW workers have these workers' councils everywhere in the world except China and this VW plant in Chattanooga. There's also news that car sales continue to get hit hard by the ongoing financial mess in Europe. Despite the fact that statisticians say Europe is emerging from recession, unemployment continues to run high. In France, for instance, VW, Ford, and Peugeot sales in August fell 11%. We'll have word on North American car and truck sales later today. Now let's check in the numbers. In London, the FT 100 stock index right now down 0.5%. The Nikkei in Japan went up 0.5%, with the key stock index in Shanghai rising 0.2% overnight. Dow and S&P futures for the U.S. are down at the moment, but those for the NASDAQ are up.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
It's not a trend yet. Perhaps experiment is a better term. In some limited cases, what people do and who they friend on social media could affect their ability to borrow money. Patty Hirsch, Marketplace's senior producer of personal finance, is here. Thanks for digging into this, Patty.
Thank you, David.
So I just checked my Facebook, and the most compromising photo I found was me in khaki shorts posing in front of a big model of the Starship Enterprise in the future birthplace of Captain Kirk in Iowa. Is that going to hurt my official credit score?
Well, maybe not that photograph, and maybe not yet, all right? The big three credit rating agencies are pretty adamant when we call them. They do not use social media in any way to determine credit scores. In fact, they say they do not accept any kind of self-reported data, which is the kind that you would find in social media.
But some people are using social media to establish credit worthiness?
Yeah, but these are small lenders, and for the most part, they're not based here in the U.S. There's a company called Creditech in Germany, lends small amounts to startups. And there's this company which is based here called Cabbage with a K. But it's not like it's Bank of America or J.P. Morgan looking at your Twitter feed before they decide to give you a car loan.
But what's the rationale from these lenders in looking at social media to figure out if I'm a risky fellow or not?
So it's this birds of a feather flock together theory, right? That deadbeat borrowers who are always late on monthly payments are more likely to hang out with other deadbeats than with responsible types. You know, follow this logic, right? And you could determine whether someone's likely to make the rent or the car payments by the way their online buddies behave online.
The word insidious starts to come to mind.
It gets worse, actually. The German company rates your risk profile according to how you fill its form in, you know, whether you use all capitals, how long you spend reading the small print, this kind of stuff. But once all that data is aggregated and stuck together, the lenders say that it does have value in building a profile of the borrower so they can determine, you know, how risky or not they are.
But these are small lenders that you identified. It doesn't sound like it's the wave of the future, or does it?
Not in the short term, certainly. You know, again, the big three credit rating agencies say credit scores only consider information that's on your credit report. But, you know, it's interesting. Nobody wanted to make definitive statements about the future. It is possible that some third-party company might find a way to cull data from social media that could be processed in a way that's useful to the big credit rating agencies, and therefore, of course, to the banks that lend money based on their assessment of how risky we are.
And right now, there are tens of thousands of listeners mentally reviewing their Facebook friends to figure out who might be the credit liability. Patty Hirsch, senior producer, personal finance here at Marketplace. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And there's news that sportswear giant Nike has just won a pile of patents that could lead to a tech-laden golf shirt someday. Bloomberg News noticed the patents first. A fancy Nike shirt might tug at a golfer in certain ways to improve the golf swing, or bark at you to improve an athlete's body position. We always note on patent stories that patents do not always lead to finished products that hit the market. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. PM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.